Where's David Fresno? Where's Robin Tambruno? What does TC in Sacramento have to say? What about Tyler Miller? What about all everybody who wants to fire Shanahan or say Shanahan's on some sort of hot seat
here? The downfall is near, and it's coming hard.
Are we sure the downfall is near? I think there's better times ahead.
I want to get into the, you know, George Kittle passing Dwight Clark for just a second.
And Roger Craig.
I want to start with Dwight Clark. When you say the name Dwight Clark, because of his passing and because of the disease that he had, like, there's a lot that's baked into it. But part of the Dwight Clark story, a big part of it, is that this guy came out of nowhere. He played on a team with a top quarterback in college at Clemson and a top wide receiver. And he only had like 30 catches, something like that, like under like 600 yards in his entire college career. All right. Go look at George Kittle's Iowa career. Very similar. I'm looking at it right here, B. He had 48 catches for 700 yards. 48 catches for 700 yards. And so when Dwight Clark gets drafted in the 10th round by Bill Walsh, I remember reading in all his memoirs and all the books about the dynasty and everything, like, his own assistants were like, Bill, what are you doing? You can sign this guy. No one wants this guy. He's, no, I want to get this guy. And he came out of nowhere, and he put up unbelievable numbers for the 49ers for a long, long, long time. Eventually, he ended up stepping away. And I look at George Kittle and what he's done coming out of nowhere, like, he is one of the great draft picks in 49er history. It's not even a question. T.O., Frank Gore, I'm talking about mid-late round picks. Obviously, right. Joe Montana is one of the great ones of all time. Right. But Dwight coming out of nowhere in the 10th round is like all-time legendary. George Kittle, fifth round pick with 40 catches in his college career,
yeah,
to be one of the greatest, most prolific pass catchers in Niner history. I don't think anyone's ever going to wear number 85 again. And it wasn't lost on me. Like, damn, dude, he passed Dwight Clark. And obviously Roger Craig. That's just unbelievable. I didn't think I'd see that coming.
Hasn't passed Dwight Clark yet, but he will.
He's going to.
He's got 500 catches. Dwight Clark, 506. Roger Craig, 508. T.O., 592. When it's all said and done, because I do think the Niners, this is the type of guy you want to extend. He's going to be number two all time in 49ers history, franchise history. He's going to join the 600 club in 49ers franchise history. There's no doubt in my mind he will, because I think the Niners will extend him. Because you think about who George Kittle is. Look, he's at 40 catches and 503 yards. So he's on his way to back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. If he goes for 1,000 this season, that'd be 4,000-yard seasons for the tight end position. Now, he also had 2021, where he only played in 14 games, and he had 910 receiving yards. All right? He had more yards or more catches as a rookie than he did in his entire career in Iowa.
That's crazy.
Right? Think about that. 40 catches in Iowa, 43 catches as a rookie with the San Francisco 49ers. And then where I'm getting to is, it's not only what you do on the field in 49ers franchise. What made Dwight Clark stand out and Roger Craig stand out? It's what they did in the community, how they became ambassadors. That's why we love Jerry Rice. Well, George Kittle has taken on that role. He's become an ambassador for this organization. He's great in the community. And who doesn't love the Kittles? I walk into Kansas City game, you see the entire family. Hey, guys, how you doing? Hey, they're all polite and nice. And he brings the whole crew out. They're like 30 deep. 30 deep at these football games. They run a whole suite, for crying out loud. But this guy's an all-time Niner. He really is, and I don't think we discussed. So when I brought up a couple, you know, when you mentioned it, I was just bringing it up because I don't think we do that enough. No. Again, we don't celebrate the good times enough in sports radio. That's what I want to focus on. The hell with the negativity, man. The hell with it.
And
George Kittle's a breath of fresh air.
And there's no doubt. And so, like, yesterday's game, just this is my opinion. You know, I've been really high on Purdy. I thought his confidence looked completely shattered. And confidence is not something that I can quantify. I'm just saying, like, yeah, what I thought I saw.
He looked shook.
He did. He was missing open receivers. He was, even on the catches that he made, there was a pass to Kittle where he's rolling out. Collins was like, Kittle was waiting forever for that ball. It was like a simple, you know, an 8 or 9 yard pass, and he like lobbed it into him. It felt like he was just kind of hesitant, tentative. Before, it felt like when he was rolling, he hit his back foot, bang, I'm gonna rip the ball down the field. And I was like, what is going on with Purdy? And then the drive before half, that ball that he like pump faked on, like, what was happening? I'm going, is he in the Jimmy zone? Like, confident, I'm talking confidence wise. Yeah, the Jimmy zone. And then George Kittle get on the first play, bang, on that little middle crosser. And I'm saying to myself, Purdy looked like a completely different guy after that one play.
No, he did.
And I thought that George Kittle picked up his guy there. It was a great throw by Purdy. It's easy throw, but it was a great throw by Purdy to hit him on the crosser. And I just felt like the whole offense took a deep breath, and George put the team on his back again. I thought it was a monster play in the game.
One thing we don't touch on enough, we used to do this a lot. We talk about tone setters. Who's going to set the tone for the football team? And a tone setter could be, it could happen, you know, a tone could be set in the first quarter. Or juice, or a jolt. There are certain players who give a sideline jolt. There are certain players who make plays where the sideline wakes up and gets up off their ass, and they're like, okay, it's go time. Deebo's one of those players. Nick Bosa can be one of those players. Fred Warner is definitely one of those players who was setting the tone yesterday. We didn't mention Fred Warner. Oh, my gosh. What a gladiator he is. But then there's also George Kittle, because George Kittle doesn't like to go out of bounds and not inch out. He likes to truck you. He likes to run you over. He did in Seattle on a big play, third down, where he's like, yeah, I'm not running out of bounds. I'm looking to run right through you. Kind of like Jeremy Shockey and Julian Peterson at the goal line way back when in that wild card game, Giants and Niners. He's a tone setter for this team. He wakes his team up. He's a captain for a reason. So they go. This offense moving forward here. George Kittle understands what time it is. And I think what got lost in the shuffle last week at the Kansas City game, Travis Kelce said, hey, let's do this again in February. Ha-ha. Kittle's like, okay. Yeah, sure. And I don't think that's lost on George Kittle.
Watching that receiver doc, like, I had an opinion of who he was before the receiver doc, and it totally changed after it. And not that I thought he was fake. I just thought it was like...
too much?
Everything was sticky. I thought everything was sticky, and not necessarily that it wasn't like real. It just felt very curated and not authentic. And then I do think he picks and chooses his time. The guy is really charming. That's number one. Like he is. Yeah. Like he's a very charming individual. It's hard to not smile when he's talking. But I actually underrated how authentic he is. I think that he truly is just an optimistic, upbeat individual. I thought it was a little like put on for the cameras.
Yep.
And I also realized his entire life is all about his family and football, and I respect the hell out of that.
He's got a little mini field in Nashville.
Yeah,
he's a workout warrior.
I got great respect for him, his family, and him allowing the cameras to be in on it. It made me appreciate him in a way that I didn't before, and I feel kind of like stupid for questioning his authentic nature. No, I really do.
It's like fans, you know, it happens.
Because all we see is what we see at podiums and maybe on social media, and I think there is times like when the team loses a big game where you're just like, oh, come on. But then like when you see all the behind the scenes stuff that the Netflix doc provided, I realized like, nah, he's really like that. And I like him. I really like George Kittle.
I'm glad you do. I like him too. First time this season, 5-0 Comcast business text line that they made second half adjustments and outplayed their opponent. Cowboys are going to a six-man line. Chris Collinsworth kept pointing it out. Six-man line. So Shanahan said, you know what? We're hitting you with some play-action passes. We're not going to run against the six-man front. We'll hit you with the play-action passes, and we'll dice you up. And again, I think Shanahan, 888-957-9570, if you had to grade Shanahan's performance yesterday, what would your grade be? 888-957-9570, because I thought Shanahan scheming guys open. And you saw it on the Deebo play early in the football game where Kittle hits him down the right side and Kittle went for a touchdown. I had Kittle let him a little bit more. Not the first time we've talked about that over the last couple weeks. But lining up Deebo in that backfield, the little subtle motion, knowing that, Eric Kendricks is guarding Deebo Samuel. There's no chance a linebacker is going to keep up with Deebo Samuel. So a great play design there. But will Christian McCaffrey be in that backfield soon, Shasky? We have a report from Ian Rappaport, NFL Network insider. Here's what he had to say about CMC.
Kyle put you on the spot to ask about Christian McCaffrey, and you said Peter just did to confirm that perhaps the optimism is that CMC would be back by after the 49ers bye week. Is it still tracking that way?
Yeah, that is my understanding. In fact, what teams do, they go mostly away for the bye weeks, but the 49ers are planning a bonus practice, which I think a lot of teams do. My understanding is Christian McCaffrey is expected to participate in that bonus practice, which will be the first time we see him, if reporters are allowed, out on the field in a while. And then he has been ramping up. He has been running, as we said, on flat ground, which is a great place to run, much better than in the whirlpool. And I would not be surprised if he is out there November 10th. That has been the target, and he has had no setbacks. So that is a very good thing for Christian McCaffrey.
When Ian Rappaport said he's been ramping up, and you hear her jiggle in the background. I'm like, I just isolate that little track they had in the back. They're so NFL Network, they're geniuses, man. They got me going. When Rappaport's in, ramping up, and I heard that, and I'm imagining Christian McCaffrey as the team's on the practice field. McCaffrey's just, he's in the training room. They're stretching him out. He's putting the wristbands on. He's putting the eye black on, and then he just walks out on the practice field, and it's like, there he is. There's CMC. Come on, you know you like that stuff.
Well, I was envisioning when they were talking about the whirlpool, I'm envisioning him kind of like Darth Vader in his back to tank, you know, on Mustafar, where he's got this like cryogenic chamber that he's in. You know
who's
exactly
Mustafar?
What I'm talking about.
Who's
where
Mustafar?
He's got the, you don't know about Mustafar? It's,
you know, I don't
it's like
know
a lava
about,
planet.
You know, I don't know nothing about Star Wars.
It's where he got sliced up. I mean, it's one of the great moments in, you know, cinematic history.
It's true.
A moment I've never seen.
When he became Darth Vader. You were the chosen one.
It's all time.
Sudoni is ear to ear. He loved the way I was just rat-a-tat-tatting that. But that's the way I vision it. I'm very excited if they can get CMC back. Because Guerrero provides a level of speed that it does have a Raheem Mostert feel to it. And he's got the turbo jets.
He does have some speed. Really, really good speed.
He made a couple of nice catches, too.
He did.
He's
got to get better at pass protection. He's got to get better at pass protection. That's the next step for him. That's what all running backs have to do, young running backs especially. That's what they miss with Christian McCaffrey. He knows how to protect the quarterback. Let's go to Awe in San Francisco. Awe. Is it Awe or is it just A-W?
J-W.
A-W?
Yeah, J-W.
What up,
yeah,
J-W?
Yeah. Hey, man, I was feeling kind of down, man, this kind of season with my Niners and Kyle Shanahan, and I was one of the guys that was kind of like on eggshells with Shanahan, man. But, you know, it's a long season, and we got to pull through, and we pulled through with that Cowboys game. And to keep it 100, Shasky, I was mad at my mom because, you know, she's a Cowboys fan. But we pulled through, man, and that's all good, Shasky. And I sent you that DM, man, of my little son, man, American Kenyon, they not you.
Bro,
he went off.
He was going crazy.
270-yarder, he picked six to the house, and he threw a bomb. So
damn.
I'm just a proud father, man, and I'm happy for my son, man. Go Niners.
JW, real quick. What if I told you in 2019, 2021, 2022, and 2023 that Shanahan and the 49ers are 24-7 in the month of November and December in those 2 months? What if I told you that? Because it is true and it's accurate. Does that make you feel better moving forward?
It kind of do, but at the end of the day, man, the end of the season, it all counts in February.
I hear you. Hey, look, you got to get to February, you got to get through November and December.
That's why we got to start stacking these wins. Let's go Niners.
Let's
there
go.
It is. There it is.
I love that.
There it is. I mean, this is separation time in the NFL. Week 7, week 8, you start to flip the calendar to November. It's separation time. You start to separate the champs from the chumps. And there's a lot of chumps out here in the NFL. I think the Seahawks are chumps. I think Tampa Bay Buccaneers are chumps. We know the Panthers are chumps.
What about the Cowboys?
Oh, chumps. I mean, nobody's worried about the Cowboys. Like, no. Actually, full disclosure.
Okay.
I wanted to bet the four. I wanted to slam the 49ers yesterday. I wanted to. But I'm trying to save somebody here. I wanted to slam it.
So you were not willing to put your money where your mouth is.
Weird things happen.
He's building all that money in that stock that he has in Andrew Wiggins right now. All right.
He doesn't want to.
August 8th is what I said by the stock. Hopefully, August 8th, I bought the stock and it was at an all time low. And boy, Andrew Wiggins has not disappointed me. Double digit rebounds in the first half against the Utah Jazz. Career high for him. 13 rebounds, a career high for Andrew Wiggins.
3-point shot looks really good.
Really good. 29 points yesterday, 20 in the second half.